Rio Grande announces a change in time for calling all cars, the West's most popular broadcast. Beginning Sunday, April 2nd, calling all cars will be heard at 8 to 8:30 p.m. on Sundays instead of Fridays. Listen to Calling All Cars, 8 to 8:30 Sunday night, April 2nd. Calling All Cars, a copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Marysville Police calling all cars. Attention all cars to broadcast 277 regarding a kidnapping. Be on the lookout for a sedan bearing three men and a woman. These men kidnapped a Marysville policeman this day. Exercise caution as they are armed and dangerous. That's all. Rosenquist.
If a water pipe bursts, you don't send for a radio repairman. If something goes wrong with your radio, you don't call in a plumber. You summon the man whose training and experience have made him a specialist in his chosen line. The men who do know gasoline, whose very occupations require them to drive far more than you or I, are the men at the wheels of police cars, ambulances, and fire engines. And the way they size up the various motor fuels on the market is best illustrated by the fact that more of their emergency public-serving automobiles are powered by Rio Grande Cracked, wherever it is sold, than any other brand. Their constant reliance on this better gasoline to get them away to a quicker start, to give them top speed, maximum power, and the kind of mileage that saves the taxpayers money is the most eloquent endorsement ever accorded to gasoline. Tens of thousands of motorists who have followed the example of an overwhelmingly large number of city and county officials in California are enjoying the advantages of police car performance Rio Grande Cracked in their automobiles. If you are not, why not? Get a tank full on the way to work in the morning. Give it one trial and you'll be sold. You'll understand why Rio Grande Cracked is the most highly recommended gasoline sold in the West. The facts in the story we are to hear tonight have been taken in the main from the confidential files of the Police Department of Marysville, California. We have therefore asked Chief of Police Darryl LaFortune to prepare a foreword to our program.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a privilege to be able tonight to greet you as a guest of Calling All Cars. It is part of the cooperation which law enforcement agencies are showing in their effort tonight to point out the losing nature of life of crime. Such cooperation between law enforcement officers and all others in this work is vital to the success of the battle against crime. If every group of authorities seek only to cover themselves with glory and refuse to cooperate with other groups, the criminal element has a distinct advantage. The story we are about to hear was brought to a successful conclusion by the splendid way in which all peace officers involved work together to prove again, and most conclusively, that crime cannot pay.
A low moon hung over the little desert town of Battle Mountain, Nevada. It was long after midnight, 1:30 o'clock in the early morning of July 15, 1932. At the upper end of the town, two men were working furtively in the shadows as they attempted to break the lock of Battle Mountain's leading store, while a third stood beside a small sedan parked nearby.
Are you making that, Jack?
Okay. A couple more pries and I'll have it.
Well.
Here. Hold this a minute, will you? I want to get some of
that. I thought I heard something down there by the corner of the building.
You're getting jumpy, Chick. I can't hear anything.
Yeah, maybe so. I could have sworn I heard someone there.
Well, if there was anybody around, Henry to see them. What do you suppose I'm making him stand out there by the car?
Yeah, sure, I know.
There! One more like that, and we'll have the lock snapped off. Now give me back
that. Jack, there is somebody coming. I just saw his shadow on that board sidewalk.
Hey, shut up, Chick, and listen.
There. You hear that?
Come on. Duck behind a sedan and quick.
He's still coming. I guess he saw us all right.
Hey, why didn't you tip us, Henry?
I didn't see him. You fellas dead, Jack. I'm just going to give the signal when you duck back here.
Okay. But hold your guns ready, boys. I got a hunch it's a cop.
All right, you fellas. Put up your hands and come out in the open. It's the law.
It's the marshal, boss.
Yeah, I know. Let him have it, boys.
One of us got him, Jack. He dropped in his tracks.
Stop! Stop, or I'll fill you full of lead!
And we must have only winged him. He's firing at us.
Well, you know what to do, don't you? That ought to hold him. Come on! Duck into the saddle.
Yeah. Did anybody here in the crowd see who was doing all that shooting?
Yeah, I seen it, Constable. There was three guys shooting it out with some other fella. They beat it down that alley there.
Okay, some of you men come with me. We'll try to head them off.
Look, Constable, there's the fella they shot lying there by the corner of the store.
See if there's anything you can do for him.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to catch up with the guys who shot him.
You see who it is?
Not yet, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's Marshal Chiara. Good old two-gun Pete Chiara. They killed him.
It looks like it to me. He got back at him a little. I saw one of the killers limping pretty bad when they ran in that alley there.
You think Pete might have shot one of them?
That's the way it looked.
Well, funny they should run off and leave their car standing here.
That ain't their car. Belongs to some people I know. Just happened to be parked there.
Well, it looks like they got away. A lot of the boys are still searching for him, but no luck so far.
They got away, huh, Constable?
Yeah, we'll get them yet. They left their tracks in the alley. The tracks of cowboys' boots.
Shortly after his arrival at the scene of Marshal Chiara's tragic killing, Sheriff James Moore of Lander County sent a rush call to Detective Richard Heap at Reno. Detective Heap immediately uncovered two important clues: a limp, plainly discernible in one of the bandit's tracks, and an excellent palm print from the fender of the parked automobile. But it remained for M.A. Carpenter, a detective of Marysville, California, to give meaning to these clues.
Were you able to make anything out of what Heap dug up, Mr. Carpenter?
I certainly was, Sheriff. Plenty.
You mean you got a lead out of that palm print?
No, not the palm print. Identifying the killer through that would be mostly a matter of luck.
What then? Tracks?
That's it, exactly. Those boot prints showing the limp.
What about them?
Sheriff, only one man in the West makes boot tracks like that. And that man is Jack Weston.
Jack Weston? You mean the man they call the last outlaw of the Old West?
That's just who I mean.
But, how can you be sure?
Besides the evidence of those boot prints, Jack Weston is the only man I know who could outdraw two-gun Pete Chiara.
If that's the case, he's going to be a tough man to catch.
That may be, but none of them are too tough to be caught eventually. I've followed Weston's career since way back in 1900 when he and his brother Ed started out stealing horses in the state of Washington.
He's been getting away with his lawlessness for a long time now, Mr. Carpenter. I don't know what...
Jack hasn't entirely gotten away with it. He's done time before, and we would get him this time... He'll likely hang. And if he keeps on leaving a trail of telltale boot prints, we'll have him before you know it.
But nearly 3 months pass, and still nothing definite has been learned as to Jack Weston's whereabouts. And then, late one October afternoon of the same year, an automobile bearing Arizona license plates turned into a service station on the outskirts of Marysville, California.
Fill your tank, sir?
Yeah, make it snappy.
Yes, sir.
Don't you think you should have stopped further along, Jack? After all, we just cleaned this dinky town of change of over 500 and phony bills.
Shut up, will you, chick? Oh, that service station got to hear you.
Oh, no, but just the same...
Well, we were down to the last gallon. I didn't want to take no chances of running out between stations.
Where to now, Jack?
I'm not sure yet. We'll see how things look up ahead. I may cut east back into Nevada.
Then you're going to pass up Red Bluff?
I told you I didn't know, didn't I? Now, pipe down.
I wish that guy would hurry up. I want to get clear of this town.
Oh, quit squawking, chick. Nobody's going to bother us. Hey there. Never mind the oil. We're in a hurry.
Okay, sir. That's $2.16.
Here you are.
Thank you, sir. Let's see. That's $2.16 out of $20.
You slipped that guy another one of the phonies, eh?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, look what's coming around the corner of the station.
Jack, it's a cop. And he's looking hard in our direction.
All right, so it's a cop. What of it?
I swear he's the biggest copper I ever saw in my life. But he weighs way over 200.
Jack, he's coming over here.
Yeah, let's beat it, Jack. Nuts to the change.
Now listen, you two hold tight. I'll take care of this.
Just a minute there. I want to talk to you.
Yeah? What's the matter?
Where'd you get that automobile?
What do you mean, where'd I get it? Belongs to me.
Yeah? Let me see your registration slip.
Sure. Right here on the wheel post.
Stearns, huh? Is your name Stearns?
All right, copper. I guess you know a 45 when you see one. Now climb into the back seat like a good boy.
Show you what the...
You heard me, big boy.
Okay.
Here. Operator. Operator, give me the police department. Hello? Say, look. Three people, two men and a woman, just drove out of my service station with Officer LeBouf in their car. I think they kidnapped him. Yeah. It was a new car with Arizona license plates and... What? Well, they're heading north on the Bangor Road, it looks like.
Yeah.
You better take it easy, Jack. We're doing close to 90. We'll have every motorcycle...
Oh, never mind the speedometer. Keep your gun on that cop, you fool.
Chick's right, Jack. We can't take the chance.
Will you two shut up? I'm heading for a turnoff in case anyone saw us kidnap the Flatfoot and there'd be an alarm by now.
Yeah, but...
But nothing. I want to get to that turnoff before they string a blockade out. After that, we'll be okay.
Oh, yeah? That's what you think, mister.
Pipe down, copper.
You think you're going to get away with this? You're crazy.
Listen, Flatfoot, don't worry about us. We'll be all right. You better start worrying about yourself. Because that 2-ton frame of yours is going to be rotten in the underbrush before long.
You mean you're going to kill him, Jack?
Sure, I'm going to kill him. You don't think I'd let him go so he could blab all he knows?
Oh, yes, but Jack...
Oh, stop whining. I'm running the show.
It can't be very far to that turnoff, Nocturne. Hey, Jack, look out. There's a car pulling out of that side road right in front of us.
Dirty rats. It's a blockade. Maybe I can make the turn.
Hey, yes. Jack, we're going to turn over.
Oh, gee. There was a break in here. Hey, anybody hurt?
I don't think so. Are you all right, Chick?
Yeah, I guess so. Shook up a little as well. Come on, let's get out of here.
What about the copper?
Oh, he's done for. Look at him.
Yeah? I guess you're right, Chick. Well, let's get going. Make for the woods
there. Okay, Jack. We're right behind you.
When the officers under Sheriff Tolan reached the scene of the accident, the fugitives had already disappeared. Fortunately, however, they found Officer Merrill LaBeouf merely unconscious from a head injury, not dead as the bandits had supposed. Days of intensive search proved unavailing. Luck was again riding with Jack Weston and his outfit. The year 1932 came to an end. 1933 rolled by, and Jack Weston still remained at liberty. And then, in the spring of 1934, Sheriff Louis R. Fife of Cedar City, Utah, decided to take the bull by the horns.
I tell you, these wool robberies have got to stop. The ranchers around here have taken about all they can stand. Something's got to be done, and done soon. I'd be willing to bet my last dime I know who's behind all this.
Yeah? Who?
Jack Weston.
By George, Sheriff, I believe you're right.
I'm almost certain I'm right.
He's the bandit who killed your old friend, Marshal Pete Kiera, up at Battle Mountain, isn't he?
Yeah. That's something I'm not forgetting. And one of these days, if somebody else doesn't get him first, I'm going to bring Weston in, dead or alive. Pardon me a minute. Hello, Sheriff Fife speaking.
This is the Stoner Ranch calling, Sheriff.
Yeah?
We've just discovered the theft of several $1,000 worth of wool.
Any idea who did it?
Well, no, unless it's those wool thieves who've been operating around here this spring.
Okay, I'll be right out. Unless I'm very much mistaken, it's Weston and his outfit again. They've robbed the Stoner Ranch.
Yeah?
Come on, let's get on out there. I'm going to bring in those wool thieves if it's the last thing I ever do.
Upon investigation of the robbery at the Stoner Ranch, Sheriff Fife's only clue was the diamond-treaded tire mark of a truck, a clue which he followed across stark desert country for nearly a month. And then, early one morning, near the abandoned Homestake Mine, 30 miles west of Cedar City, he came across the now familiar tracks leading to an arroyo and knew that at last he had his quarry cornered. Leaving his car, Sheriff Fife cautiously drew his .45 and advanced toward a small truck that was partially concealed by a growth of mesquite. As he came up to it and peered around the front of the motor, his eyes fell on a middle-aged man and young woman lying fast asleep on the ground almost at his feet. For a moment, Sheriff Fife studied the man's features and then...
All right, Weston, get up.
Huh? Oh,
none of that, Weston. I wouldn't reach for that gun if I were you.
Okay, Sheriff. It's your party.
Just leave your gun on the ground where it is and keep your hands up. Yes, and the girl, too.
What'll we do, Jack?
Whatever the sheriff says, I reckon.
Now get on down the gully there, both of you. My car's only a couple hundred yards away.
What about the truck?
There's plenty of time to take care of the truck, Weston. I'm going to toss a pair of handcuffs over to you, sister. I want you to put them on him.
Shall I, Jack?
Sure. What else can you do?
All right, hurry it up. Now then, get moving.
Okay. Don't get such a stew.
Yeah, just keep ahead of me there and no tricks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the handcuffs, Jack.
That's all right, Daisy. Think nothing of it. I'm not going to...
No, you don't, Weston. Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
Go, Jack! Go and get away from him! Oh! Oh, you've killed him. You dirty rat! You've killed him!
Maybe I have. If I did, he asked for it.
Oh, Jack.
I'm going after my car. Don't try to get away because it won't do you any good.
Jack!
I won't be but a minute, and you take it easy. If Weston don't die, we'll get him patched up when we get back to town.
Jack, say something!
Remember what I told you now? No funny business.
Daisy.
Oh, Jack.
Now, shut up and listen. The minute he gets out of sight,
You dash back to the truck and bring me my shotgun. You get it?
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, if the louse hadn't pumped the slug into my back, I'd go myself.
Does it hurt very bad, Jack?
Never mind that. Is he out of sight yet?
Yeah.
And B didn't get that shotgun.
Okay.
No. I'll make that filthy sheriff pay for this. Just you wait, wise guy, just wait.
Are you all right, Jack?
With a shotgun in my hands, I'm always all right. Now, shut up. It's my turn now, Sheriff, huh? Get him up and be quick about it.
Well, what?
Hey, you heard me. Get him up.
Okay, Weston. Kind of looks like your luck still holds, doesn't it?
Sure, why not? Get the keys to these bracelets from Daisy and get his...
Jack, look out!
Daisy, that six gun there on the ground.
I'm getting it, Jack. All right. Get back, you, and drop that shotgun.
Had to go, Daisy.
Put his other pair of handcuffs on him, Jack.
Yeah, what for? Why should I fool around with him? Why not shoot him? That's what he deserves.
Just the same, Jack.
You were lucky getting out of the way of that shotgun charge, Sheriff. But it won't happen again. You're all through, see? Here, Daisy. Give me a gun.
No, I've got a better idea, honey. We'll handcuff him around one of them trees. This lug is going to die a slow death.
Swell. You've got brains, sugar.
Hey, this tree right here is as good as any. Trunk's about a foot thick.
Now get over there, Sheriff. The lady's going to make you nice and comfortable.
Do you really mean you'd do a thing like this to anyone, Weston?
Why, sure. Now get your arms around that tree trunk.
No, not there. Under the big branch. There. That's it. Now.
Yeah. That ought to hold you for a while, Sheriff.
Now, come on, Jack. Let me help you up again. Let's beat it out of here.
Beat it nothing. Get some gasoline out of the truck, Daisy.
Gasoline?
Sure. I'm going to pour it over this dirty rat and set him on fire.
Oh, huh? Jack, no.
I said yes. And do what I say. I'm going to burn him alive. That's what I'm going to do.
Jack.
No.
Jack, what is it?
It's a slug. I guess maybe I'm hit worse than I thought.
Here, hold on to me, darling. I'll get you to the sheriff's car somehow.
Oh, take it easy, Daisy. Take it easy.
I will, dear. See, it's just this temper.
If it wasn't for this confounded bullet in my back, I could stay here and watch that skunk die.
Here we are, Jack. Now, let me help you up into the seat.
Oh.
There now. You'll be all right.
Yeah, sure.
Now, let's get out of here.
You're not really going to leave me here like this, are you?
What do you think, copper?
Don't you realize what that means?
Sure I do, and I'm only sorry it won't be worse.
You can't let me die like this. It ain't human. In heaven's name, shoot me. Shoot me, but don't leave me out here to go mad.
Shoot you? Oh, no, that'd be much too good for you. So long, Sheriff. Hang up there by your arms till you rot.
Hours dragged by. A noonday sun scorched down upon Sheriff Fife, burning into his brain. Overhead, a circle of ominous dark birds swooped ever lower, their beady eyes fastened upon the helpless man awaiting the moment when life should leave his tortured body. Desperately, he racked his wits for a solution to the problem of horror confronting him. Suddenly, a daring scheme presented itself. Matches were in his pocket. The bark of the cedar was dry, highly inflammable. He would burn down the tree. He might be roasted alive in the process, but it was a chance for freedom. Time and again, the bark ignited and seared the officer's hands. But always the flame burned out before being able to ripen into a blaze. At the end of an hour, Fife was forced to abandon the plan. Feverishly, he searched his mind for yet another solution. Yet he was...
caught. Caught. Caught like an animal in a trap. Caught. But it's easier for the animal. He can't think. He can't picture the torments that lie ahead of him. Can't visualize the agonizing death that comes with hunger and thirst, burning heat. Sometimes an animal gnaws off the foot that holds him in the trap. An animal has the courage. But so have I. So have I. I wonder if it hurts much.
can't be much worse than these handcuffs cutting into my wrists. My teeth are strong. 3 or 4 quick bites. That's all. And then the bone's easily broken once the flesh is torn loose. I can try. I can try. No. No, it's no use. I can't reach beyond my shoulder. But I've got to live. I've got to. I've got to get Jack Weston. He's like all you buzzards flying around up there. Only worse. Do you hear me? Only worse. He left me here alone. But you're keeping me company. You keep circling lower and lower. Pretty soon you won't be much higher than the top of this tree. If I could climb to the top, it'd save you the trouble of coming down so far to get me. Climb to the top. Why not? Why not climb over the top of the tree? I can knock off the branches as I go. It's escape from death. If I can do it. I forgot this lower branch. It's 4 inches thick. I never could knock that one off. Condemned to death by the branch of a tree. Little 4-inch branch. Still, if I had something sharp. There! Piece of flat shale. That'll do it. If I can only reach it with my foot. It's coming. It's coming. I'm getting it. One more try. There. I've got it. No, I can chop. Chop away this limb. Chop. Chop. Chop.
The shadows of late afternoon fell over the wastelands, followed by the blackness of night, and still the chopping continued. Long, agonized hours dragged by. Hours in which Fife often became so faint and crazed with thirst that he had to torture himself with the handcuffs to remain conscious. Once again, the sun rose out of the east, searing the arid country with its oven-like blasts. Silently, hungrily, the buzzards continued their patient circling of the spot. Followed more hours of pain-racking labor, and then, suddenly, the sounds of chopping ceased. Slowly, torturously, Sheriff Fife locked his legs about the partially severed limb of the tree. Straining every muscle, he pulled downward, hopefully, awaiting the result. And then, with a rending snap, the limb broke free. With almost superhuman effort, Fife then began his ascent of the tree, breaking away the smaller limbs as he climbed. An hour passed, and he was within 4 feet of the top of the 20-foot cedar. There the trunk was fragile, and his body swayed unsteadily. Trembling, he was on the verge of collapse, but somehow he managed to flounder on, higher, higher. Slowly the treetop began to bend into an arc.
It's bending. It's bending. Just one more foot. Please, God, just one more foot. I'm beginning to slide free. Free! Free!
A
Only through sheer force of will did Sheriff Fife, still locked in handcuffs, manage the 14 miles of grueling march towards Cedar City before being picked up by a rancher. And almost unbelievable as it seems, after only 2 days of recuperation, he was once again hot on the trail of the West's number one bad man, Jack Weston. Information had come through that a girl answering Daisy's description had purchased medical supplies in St. George and had driven south in the direction of Arizona. Sheriff Fife was not long in picking up the tracks made by the tires of his car, and in company with several deputies, the officers soon came to the end of their search before a tiny shack in the vicinity of Mount Trumbull. Sheriff Fife advanced to the door.
Why, it's you, but...
Yeah.
But I thought...
You thought I'd be food for the buzzards by this time, didn't you? Instead, you're under arrest for attempted murder, young woman.
I see. All right, I'll go with you.
Where's Jack Weston?
He ain't here.
Ain't here, eh? Come on, we're going to take a look through the house.
You can see for yourself there's no one in this room. There ain't but two other rooms in the house.
Well, we'll take a look at him anyway. Hey, what's your name?
Margaret Carter.
Margaret Carter. Why'd Jack call you Daisy?
If you don't like my name, you know what you can do.
Come on now, where's Jack Weston?
Jack is far away.
Well, I'm going to find out. You were right about his not being in the house, but I got a hunch he's not far from here.
One of the men just found your car, Sheriff.
He did, eh? What about Weston, Captain?
There's no sign of Weston.
Well, let's take a look at the car. Come on, Daisy, or Margaret, or whatever your name is.
Okay.
You see, the car's right there by that clump of mesquite.
Oh, yeah. What are the men digging over there for?
Well, we found a place where the earth had been disturbed. Thought maybe Weston might have buried something there.
Well, what's that for? What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
Say, Sheriff, it's a body we just found in that pit. The boys are bringing it out now.
A body? Whose, do you know?
Well, there, the boys have it out. Maybe someone can identify it.
Why, it's Jack Weston.
Yes, it's Jack. I buried him there myself. He died during the night on the trip south from St. George.
Well, looks like that bullet of yours got him after all, Sheriff.
Yeah, I guess it did. And it left the West that much better place to live in.
In just a moment, we shall present the concluding facts regarding our program. A careful driver not only keeps one eye on the road and the other on his speedometer, he is just as careful about where he turns in for his motoring needs. A veritable army of prudent, thoughtful motorists watch for the nearest red and white Rio Grande station, knowing the safer, surer protection of Rio Lube and Rio Grande, Pennsylvania, knowing the superior quality of Rio Grande Cracked, the gasoline of real police car performance. Every member of Jack Weston's outfit has been apprehended by the authorities, either before or since the death of their leader, and is now serving time in prison. They are learning, as Jack Weston so conclusively learned, that crime cannot pay.
Marysville police calling all cars, attention all cars, a cancellation of broadcast 277 regarding a kidnapping. Suspects in this case are now in custody. That's all. Rosenquist.
The role of Sheriff Fife in tonight's broadcast was played by Frederick Shields. This is your narrator, Frederick Lindsley, bidding you good night for Rio Grande.
Rio Grande announces a change in time for Calling All Cars, the West's most popular broadcast. Beginning Sunday, April 2nd, Calling All Cars will be heard at 8 to 8:30 p.m. on Sundays instead of Fridays. Listen to Calling All Cars, 8 to 8:30 Sunday night starting April 2nd, at which time you will hear the story of Earl Duran, the Wyoming desperado who was shot today. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.